Are you ready to take your intermittent fasting lifestyle to the next level? There's nothing better than community to help with that. In the Delay, Don't Deny community, we all embrace the clean fast, and there's just the right support for you as you live your intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can connect directly with me in the Ask Jen group, and I'll answer all of your questions personally. If you're new to intermittent fasting or recommitting to the intermittent fasting lifestyle, join the 28-Day Fast Start group. After your fast start, join us for support in the first year group. Need tips for long-term maintenance? We have a place for that. There are many more useful spaces beyond these, and you can interact in as many as you like. Visit jenstevens.com/community to join us. An annual membership costs just over $1 a week when you do the math. If you aren't ready to fully commit for a year, join for a month, and you can cancel at any time. If you know you'll want to stay forever, we also have a lifetime membership option available. IF is free. You don't need to join our community to fast. But if you're looking for support from a community of like-minded intermittent fasters, we're here for you at jenstevens.com/community. That's jenstevens.com/community. Achieving my long-term goals is more about creating healthy habits and less about quick fixes. And that's why I love both intermittent fasting and daily harvest. Tim Spector, a gut health expert and founder of Zoe, and Dr. B, gastroenterologist and author of Fiberfueled, recommend that you aim for at least 30 unique plant foods per week. Daily Harvest helps make it easy. One of my favorite options is the sweet potato and wild rice hash harvest bowl. With Daily Harvest, I'm getting tons of plant-based options built on organic fruits and vegetables that are easy to prep and free of weird ingredients such as fillers, seed oils, and added sugars. Create healthy habits that last with Daily Harvest. For a limited time only, go to dailyharvest.com/ifstories to get $30 off your first box plus free shipping. That's dailyharvest.com/ifstories for $30 off your first box and free shipping. dailyharvest.com/ifstories. Welcome to Intermittent Fasting Stories. I'm your host, Jen Stevens, author of the New York Times bestseller, Fast, Feast, Repeat, as well as the book that started it all, Delay, Don't Deny. I lost over 80 pounds thanks to intermittent fasting after learning how to delay my eating rather than denying myself the delicious foods I want to eat. Now, who's ready to hear an inspirational intermittent fasting story? That's why we're here. So let's get excited to talk to today's guest. Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 409 of Intermittent Fasting Stories. Today, I'm here with Tamara Collins. Tamara lives in Yorktown, Indiana, and she is a government contractor. Welcome, Tamara.
Hello, how are you?
I am doing great. So excited to talk to you today.
Oh, I am so excited as well.
Well, it's going to be a great conversation. I can already tell, like, before we start recording, I have already know. We could have a two-hour conversation,
right?
We're going to limit it to the normal time. But, you know, I like to start by asking, what brought you to intermittent fasting, and when was that?
So I love it when other people tell their stories where they go way back. I'm going to go way back and I'll try to make it quick.
In the beginning,
when I was in, I would say probably elementary or middle school, I lived up the street from my grandparents. My parents were very young when they had me. So my grandparents had kids that were my age. I was always down there playing with my uncle. She would always give me a hug and pinch me right in my belly and would constantly tell me, you got that pudge going on. You need to exercise, exercise, exercise. That was her theme. And I know she didn't mean that ill-willed or whatever, but it really stuck with me from middle school on. And I would constantly think about what would grandma think? What would grandma think I look like or what I was doing? So it really just stuck with me. I mean, even to this day, I think about now, I can laugh about it. It started like this whole transition in my life where I was like, I'm never going to be skinny enough. I'm always going to be pudgy. And I was, when I look back at pictures, you know, I wasn't a stick thin girl, but I obviously wasn't completely overweight. I mean, but back then that was the thing. So I went back and was trying to think, what did I do? Well, in middle school, my mom also was trying to lose weight as well. And she had these things called AIDS candy.
Yeah.
Have you heard of those?
I have. And people have mentioned it. It was like the really? 80s. Was it the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the 80s.
And it was pronounced, well, it was
pronounced AIDS.
Yeah, it was A-Y-D-S.
Yeah.
And it was prior to the AIDS epidemic. So I'm pretty sure that they were like, oh, well, that was the end of that candy once we had the medical
the
medical epidemic. But
yes,
AIDS, it might have been late 70s even, early
80s. It could have been. Yeah, it
might
have been in
their
cabinet like forever. But I was like, oh, yeah, I could take this.
Was it supposed to be an appetite suppressant or something? I don't even remember what it was supposed to do.
I don't even know. I just remember seeing those candies thinking, oh, great, a miracle drug. That'll cure
me. Candy, well, the secret's candy.
Yeah. Awesome. Chocolate, too. I believe it was brown, though, when I
right.
look back. But then, as I got into high school, same thing. I just had this complex about me that I was always pudgy. So that's when I got on the Dexatrim. Kick. And I love Leanne Morgan because she is just spot on. Like,
oh,
for she real.
She's so funny. I
know,
her.
Right? She's like, yeah. Okay, let's get real,
she's
girls. We were thinking speed.
Anybody who doesn't know, she's all over YouTube. My sister introduced me to her. And then she was here for the month of January. We watched it all the time. And it's
crazy. Oh, she
me
is
up.
Hilarious. Yeah, but yeah. She's spot on, isn't she? I mean,
yes.
Honestly, I don't know who all in our age group tried that. But
did she talk about Dexatrim?
Oh, yeah. She would say it's speed. Like,
yeah.
She was right, because it would get your heart racing and you weren't hungry. And yes, there were some benefits to it because it did suppress my appetite, but it definitely was not healthy.
No. You know, when you feel crazy, that's not a good sign.
Exactly. Exactly. And that actually
led me to...
I feel
crazy, but I'm not hungry. Woo.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Everything's good. Everything's good. Yeah. Along those lines, too, I was just kind of whatever was out there. You know, I even started smoking, so that would suppress my appetite, which was so unhealthy. Everything was just so unhealthy back then. I was married very early, too. I was married in 1987, and we moved to Tampa, Florida then. We started off in Muncie, Indiana, moved to Tampa, Florida. And then I started these Richard Simmons cards.
I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. Started those. It worked for a while. I mean, actually, they weren't terrible. It's just I was starving afterwards. It wasn't
was
enough.
Was that called Deal-A-Meal?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name of it. I was just
Deal-A-Meal.
Richard Simmons card.
He was just, I loved him in his little shorts and his sweat into the oldies. There was just something infectious about Richard Simmons where you just loved him.
Well, he
his
was
vulnerability.
So encouraging. He was encouraging, and he kind of just met you where you were watching him. But yeah, so I did try those. And then fast forwarding into the 90s, after two kids, I just decided, okay, I'm going to just try something on my own. And I did low fat. I just thought, okay, low fat's the way it is. I'm just going to do 20 grams of fat a day. And honestly, it worked. But looking back at the foods I ate, they were horrible.
You're just me. You are me exactly. I did the exact same thing.
Did you
early
really?
90s, low fat, 20
yeah.
grams a day,
mm-hmm.
and it worked
mm-hmm.
beautifully. Were you eating Snack Wells?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was eating Snack Wells, you know, the spray
SpaghettiOs
butter.
Are fat-free.
Yeah. Yeah. All the like horrible, horrible foods for you. I can't even remember. There was some ice cream too that I used to get. But okay, that maybe worked for 2 years. I'll be honest. I did lose weight on that. But one, it wasn't healthy. But I was feeling better. I was like, okay, great. I've lost the weight. And then I get pregnant with my third baby and bed rest. So, and then my sweet church, they were so awesome, but all the church ladies would bring me 3-course meals with a dessert.
And they were not low fat.
No.
The church ladies do not cook low fat meals.
No, especially Baptist church ladies. They
right.
were just so precious. But yeah, they would bring me some crazy meals. So I ended up gaining, gosh, I'm thinking 60 to 80 pounds. As I was pregnant, it was horrible. It was, and then the pregnancy was not good. I ended up having a C-section and my baby almost died.
Oh gosh.
It was
all
pretty
is well
traumatic.
Now though, right?
Yes. He's actually in pilot school now. So
praise
the Lord.
So proud of him.
Yes. He did fantastic. He beat all the odds and was a miracle
awesome.
Baby for sure. After I had him, we went back in the military. So we were here in Muncie and then we went back in the military. I didn't lose all that weight after him. I'm 5'6". At that point, my range was about 165 to 175. When I had lost the weight prior on the low fat, I was probably down to 135, 140. I really went down a lot.
I was the smallest of my adult life when I was low fat. I was 118, which yeah, was, I'm 5'5". So that was really, really skinny for me. I didn't look healthy.
I didn't either. When I look back at pictures, my face was a little bit more sunken
in. Mine too.
Yeah. We went back in the military in early 2000s. I say we, he was in the military. I followed, but
that counts. Military right. Wives are in the military.
We are in. So we went to California and I was having some pretty serious stomach issues there. And they kept saying, eat better, run, blah, 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 blah. Well, I finally found a doctor that would listen to me. Mm-hmm. And come to find out after the C-section, the way my C-section, it didn't heal right. And I had a lot of scar tissue buildup and it was actually cutting into my uterus.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And my uterus was swollen. So by the time they finally found that out, it was in 2006. And it was right before. So we were there from 2001 to 2006. And right before we left, we were on our way to Japan. So I had to make a decision, get a hysterectomy there, or try to deal with it while we were in Japan. So of course I got it.
Went
on ahead and did it. And he said, he goes, this is just horrible. Like, this is the worst I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
I was in my 30s. So it was scary. I was young. I was done. I mean, I had 3 boys. I was fine with that. But that sent me off into depression. Right. Now I didn't have that. And then all of a sudden we're moving to a new country.
Was that your first time living overseas?
Yes. So we went overseas.
Is your husband
in
Air Force?
Yeah.
Was he Air Force? The reason I asked is because my uncle Jim was stationed in Okinawa. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. So
when was he stationed there?
It was a long time ago. My cousins, they were during the 70s. Mm-hmm. I remember they would come back to visit, late 70s, early 80s. But they would come to visit and they were like celebrities because they lived in Japan and they were so rarely here. So seeing them was so special. It sounded like an amazing life.
And I'm telling you, I cherish that time when we actually went to Okinawa, Japan. So we were there from 2006 to 2010. You know, we talked about this earlier. When we landed, I was like, I think I'm going to die here because was so hot and so tropical. And when you're overweight and it's hot and it's tropical and everything swells and it's not
right
fun to be outside, you know, couldn't get my rings off. I mean, it was crazy. So right after we landed there, they didn't have room for us. We, at the time I had custody of my nephew as well. So there was 4 boys, my husband and I. So we had to live off base and we did find a small village that had some Americans living in there off base, but this was all completely foreign to us. Like, we didn't speak the language, couldn't answer the phone. You didn't even know how to dial 911 or what do you do with the phones? This is pre-Facebook and everything else. So it was jarring and I struggled a lot there in the first year, but I made a decision and I will say my faith has helped me a lot through this. Mm-hmm. I was praying about it and I was just like, Lord, I don't want to be one that just stays in my little cottage and to feel safe, I need to get out there. And he prompted me to do that. So one of the things to help with the weight loss plus the depression, everything, I found this group called Spark People. Have you heard of that
online?
Before? Yes. Yeah.
It was a website, right? Back like a bulletin board kind of a thing.
Right.
Way before apps. Where,
You could do your own thing.
I was on there.
Oh, you were. Hey, we probably knew each other.
We might have.
I like that. I like that community. That was a nice community to just kind of help with food. Well, plus I was in Okinawa, Japan, where you learn some new cool dishes. So one of the things I did besides bidding on contracts there and working in accounting in different places, I would teach ESL to Japanese women. And they loved it when we talked about American food. So they wanted to come over. They wanted me to make an American dish. And then they would make a Japanese dish. And then they would teach me how to make Japanese dishes. So that was so much fun. I mean, just a lot of fun. I did lose some weight when I was there with Spark People. You know, that helped. But I tell you, even though we're in Okinawa and people do eat well, there's still McDonald's on every corner. There's still.
Really?
Yeah, and they would love to go there too. So, the beef was a little bit better there though. The McDonald's there was fantastic. But when we left there, I think my range was like, again, like 170, I don't know, 170, 180. I wasn't super comfortable in, it's not really the number to me. It's just how my clothes fit. You're just so tired. I just didn't want to do anything. And I found over the years with all this stress of moving around, it's just stress eating. I literally would just go to the refrigerator and just stuff myself when I would go through something. That's, again, another spiritual journey where that never solves a problem. It just creates more.
You are kicking the problem down the curb by because you're numbing your feelings. The problem is still there and you're not dealing with it.
So exactly.
It forces you to have to deal with it later.
Right.
And it's still going to be there. Right.
Right. Yeah. And then now you've developed all these bad habits too.
Right.
So it's not only that, it's easy, quick food or going out to eat or whatever. So we left there in 2010. A week before we were boarding the plane, my son had turned, my son had turned 18 in March, but we were leaving in June after he graduated. A week before we were getting ready to leave, my son tells me, yeah, I'm staying.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, what?
Like, how many years were y'all there?
We were there for 4 years. He was there longer. I was like, that's not how it works. Military, we all move together. And usually, well, with Air Force, we all cycle together. Like we all leave at the same time. It's not like you still have people there that you know even. So I knew a couple people still left that weren't PCSing. I was good friends with the Japanese girl that worked at the chapel because I worked at the chapel as well. And that's all we knew. So I'm like, no, you've got to go. Well, no, I'm staying. So that was some pretty traumatic stress for Mama Bear.
I bet.
I about died. So I kept thinking, okay, he's going to change his mind. He's going to change his mind. But the day we got ready to get on the plane, I'm sitting here looking at him and he's waving goodbye. And I mean, that was a kick in the stomach.
So what was he going to do? Away. Did he have...
That's a $1 million question.
I was thinking, was it a girl? Was it?
He just loved Japan. He loves the culture. He still does. He's actually a TikTok, I would say celebrity. He's got millions of followers on TikTok where he teaches Japanese and teaches about the culture. He's amazing as far as his Japanese skills.
And he's still there.
No, he's home.
Okay. I know you're so proud of him.
I am.
But he stayed there then. Okay. And you
he
left.
Stayed there. So that threw me into some major depression when he left. His choice was that he was going to work at the local BX and that gave him the SOFA status in order to stay, which I was floored that they did that. But anyway, yeah. And he was living on the beach. So that was fun.
Well, that sounds pretty nice.
Yeah.
He loved being in the Asian culture. I have a niece. She was in China after she graduated. She worked for the Peace Corps and they sent her to China and she was teaching English to college students in China. And she loved it there so much. She was there when the pandemic happened and they had escape.
Yeah.
That's how we knew it was happening. She got home January of 2020, but she loved it so much. She went back to South Korea and she taught preschool kids in South Korea and met someone who is South Korean and she married him in the end of November and they live in Charleston, but he has moved here to have his life with her. So I understand the loving it there so much. I'm sure she'll go back. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's great. As far as he's very knowledgeable of the culture. When we were there, he actually taught, I'm going kind of backwards here, but he would teach other Japanese kids English, and then he would take that money that he would get from them and go to Kumon, and he would learn Japanese himself. Well, he did this for a year, and then he came home one day and said, yeah, I don't want to pay for that anymore. And I'm like, no, I was just going to see how far you take it. I'll pay for it. Keep going.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he ended up, I wouldn't say graduating, but he got through all the courses there. So the sensei ended up hiring him, and then he ended up teaching Japanese to Japanese children and Japanese to English children as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was his skill set for sure. He's very good at languages.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Optimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress
vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10, to get your Magnesium Breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/ifstories, promo code ifstories10. If you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you know what a fan I am of Dr. Tim Spector and the work he's doing with Zoe. I was first introduced to his work in 2015, and I've been following his research ever since. What I love most about the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast is that they have weekly interviews with world-leading experts who explain how their latest research can benefit your health. Recently, I was thrilled to finally meet him face-to-face as we recorded an episode for the Zoe Science and Nutrition podcast, and this episode aired on April 11th. We had a chance to talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study, and I had the opportunity to explain the clean fast to Jonathan, which may explain why he didn't enjoy his prior experiences with fasting. Search for Zoe Science and Nutrition on your podcast player or on YouTube to hear the latest episode, and don't forget to look for the April 11th episode to hear me, Tim, and Jonathan talk about the world's biggest intermittent fasting study.
But anyway, we ended up going to New Mexico in 2010. And if anybody else is listening, they'll understand this. But we went to Clovis, New Mexico, which is in the middle of nowhere. At the time, they had a Walmart and I think 2 restaurants.
I've never even heard of it. Like, literally,
it's
never heard of it.
Death sentence.
Oh, no. Did y'all do something wrong?
And I know. That's what we were like. We're like, we got all these great marks. What happened here? But yeah, it was a challenge. And then, of course, I was on my knees praying for my son. And then my other son, my youngest, had terrible asthma attacks there from the blowing dirt. You couldn't even take a walk without getting dirt on your legs. It was the high plains. So, of course, I just ballooned up there. I was just like, that was the thing. So now my new range was between probably 180, 190. Fortunately, my son ended up coming back. So he came back, but obviously it was a huge transition to come back to New Mexico. And then my middle son, who I haven't even talked about, who's also what I believe to be a genius. So he ended up moving to Indiana because of the school systems in New Mexico were not great. We knew we'd eventually come back here. This was our hometown, and he stayed with my parents and went to high school here for a short time. So there was just so many things happening, And I just wasn't concentrating on my health, my weight, nothing. I was just basically treading water to get by. And then in 2011, we were fortunate enough to get orders to Wright-Patt in Ohio. That was very significant for several reasons. One, they had a better children's hospital for my son. It was a medical transfer, and he ended up getting some great things done for his asthma. 2, we were closer to home. So home was Indiana. That helped. And just with those small changes, that helps when you're going through that. Anyway, so I'll fast forward a little bit more. I'm kind of talking a lot about my past, but we ended up going to Virginia in 2015-16 as government contractors. And then I was doing paleo then, tried paleo. I ended up, I think, gaining weight through paleo.
Well, see, if you're like me, we did great on the low fat. We did great on it. And our body responded. We lost a lot of weight. Paleo tends to be more, I mean, it's not a low carb, high fat technically, but I think it tends to lean more that direction.
I agree. The food I wasn't a fan of either. I couldn't get into all the meats and everything, but that didn't work. And then it ended up messing up my stomach. So then we ended up coming back to Ohio in 2018, and I started this group called Stronger You. I was all psyched for it. I had a friend that was in it. She lost tons of weight, and I was very quickly disappointed because they sent me an Excel spreadsheet where I had to track every single item of food that I, and I had to report to a coach who the coach wouldn't tell me what to eat, but he would basically say what I was doing wrong on everything. And I thought, that's
not
a coach.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but what you are doing is wrong.
It's wrong. Just try to make the whole thing like the pie chart work.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'm done with that. And then in 2019, I was on your Facebook group Somehow I found it in Facebook. Okay. So I was like, oh, this is a really cool idea. Fasting. I never thought about that. And it was a good group at the time I was on it. I think it was it in 19?
Yeah. We had it in 19. We left in 2021.
That's so what happened. Yeah. So we were there. Actually, yeah. I was on there and then I bought your book, Delay, Don't Deny. And my husband and I were visiting his father and it was a 3-hour drive. And I literally read that whole book on the way.
Yeah.
When we were going up there and he and I, but oh yeah, yeah, we could do this. We could do this. Well, in that same year, we started having kiddos, getting married. So that mm-hmm. helped a lot with the fasting. And I don't think I was truly committed to it. It was a great concept, philosophy, but I don't feel like I was 100% committed. Like I do it really good 1 week and then I'd not do it. And then I go back again. And it was just this another tool.
It was, you were dabbling yeah. in it. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I was dabbling in it, but I got my sister-in-law on the site, Jody. She was really encouraged by that site too. She was doing well. And then I found out a good friend of mine, Molly, was on there as well. And she and I had been talking through another mutual friend site who had had cancer. And then she found out she had cancer and started intermittent fasting. And she truly believes that that helped her get through what she went through. And I mean, she's got an amazing story. I really want her to
come on here and share that. She has to tell her to email me.
Yes.
Say Tamara sent you.
Yeah. Yes. She and I have talked for several years and have held each other accountable and we'll not go through it and go back and go back and forth. And we were both similar in that way. But this past year is when it really hit me. Looking back in July, I'll tell you what happened is I got plantar fasciitis in 2020 when we all had to go home, blah, blah, blah. Well, I mean, that was really crippling for me. And it was so bad that no matter what stretches I did or whatever, it just did not work. And I was heading down the fast track to foot surgery.
Oh, gosh.
It was really bad. I mean, I just can't even explain it. I didn't even know it was a thing until I got it. Then I had a gallbladder attack. I had an endoscopy. Like everything just happened in 2023. I got plantar fasciitis in 2020, but then I got foot surgery in 2023.
Okay.
That was a pivotal moment for me. I saw a picture of me in July, which I posted on our community's site. It was super embarrassing. I could barely get through that 1 mile walk just to go. So the weight didn't help because I was much heavier then. Right at that point, I was probably about 204 pounds in that picture. I'm almost positive it was 204. It was embarrassing to see that I got up that high, could barely walk. And I thought, my gosh, I'm only 50. At the time, I was only 54. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So I started back and I said, you know what? I'm going to do communities because I found that when I was on the Facebook
groups,
I did great. And then when I was on that Spark People, that seemed to be the thing that helped the most was just encouragement, accountability, and just others sharing their stories. And then I got Fast, Feast, Repeat.
It really does make a difference to have community. And it makes me wonder how much of my ability to keep the weight off and live as an intermittent faster for almost 10 years now is because I've been so immersed in community the whole time. I really, really think it makes a difference because you don't want to let the community down. You also know you're not alone with your struggles, right?
Right. And I mean, at first I was just kind of doing the whole peeking in and
lurking.
Yeah. Then I started adding a few things and then I started realizing, you know, I could actually help someone else who's just starting off as well. And you actually helped me quite a bit because I was not truly following the full, how do you say it? So I had done 2 fasting days in a row and you're like, girl, go back and read Fast, Feast, Repeat.
The school teacher in me comes out.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was perfect. Cause you're like, I was like, you're right. Because it did everything. Like I was just like starving after that.
Right.
I wasn't focusing right. And on the actual process. So I was kind of doing things Tamara's way versus actually like, okay, you've got this book that has really good tools and she's already done the research. You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
So I went back to the drawing board. And then in August after the foot surgery, I was doing the window up until then. So let me go back. July 2023 is when I started IF again. And I was serious about it. That's when I joined communities.
You recommitted and joined this. Yeah.
And with that commitment, I was like, this is going to be a lifelong commitment. This isn't going to be something I do this week and not next week. And if I'm not great this week or tomorrow or today, then tomorrow I'll do better. So then I was doing the window eating. Well, then after the foot surgery, I stuck with the window eating, but I really thought I wanted to try ADF. And I'm not really sure what prompted me into that. I know what it was. The window wasn't working for me because I would eat my meal and be done. And I was doing more like a, you know, 23-hour fast with a 1-hour window and be done. And I was like, I can't do this. I just still had that. Like, I'm always on the go, 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 go. And I needed, if I wanted to stretch it out, well, I can't do one meal a day if I stretch it out. And I was like stressing myself out. And I'm like, let's just try the ADF.
Right.
ADF was my sweet spot. I can't believe it. I would have never guessed it, but it has worked for me. So once I committed to ADF, and I say that kind of loosely, it's more like a 5-3 because I do change it up so that if I'm, actually, I just rechanged it because I thought I needed to eat when I was at work. And honestly, I found that I don't want to eat when I'm at my location at work. So I just changed it up to where those days I'm not eating when I have to go into work. Yeah, because I can fill it with other things. So yeah, that worked for me. I know some of my friends that do this, they do the window eating, which is fantastic. It's just your own body, what works for you. On my fasting days, there's days that I do not eat at all. But when I do eat, I definitely keep it to under a 500 calorie. And it's
so
more
you have either way. Some days you have the full fast version, and sometimes you do the 500 calorie down day. You just play it by ear and see how it feels.
Yeah. And I do pack a lunch just in case when I'm going to work. If I eat it, fine. If I don't, fine. I might eat half of it, but I know it's only 500 calories. And if they're having a luncheon or whatever, I'm not really tempted because I know that tomorrow what my plan is or whatever I'm going to eat, I can wait until then. So that's where the delay, don't deny comes back in.
There you go.
Comes back over and just keep thinking about that or not thinking about that. It honestly, I'm not super hungry on my fasting days. It could be in the evenings, like when it hits me a little bit, but I just usually push through it because it's not worth it for me to eat in the evenings because I get stomach issues when I eat late at night.
Oh.
So I know other people can eat too late at night. I'm more of a morning person, but I usually open my window about, I don't know, maybe about 9 or 10.
On your up day?
Yeah, on my up day.
That's a good idea. We want to start early on an up day. If we had a fast the day before, we want to start early on the up day so we have time to be hungry for the full up day.
Right. And I usually don't eat past 4 or 5 just because, again, the stomach issues, unless we're going out with like friends, and then I might eat a little bit later, push it out later, stay up later just to help with that. So today I'm happy to say I am down. I just weighed myself 39.5. I almost hit that 40 today.
round it up.
I'm a numbers girl. I can't do that. Now.
We're recording this in late February or mid February, actually. So you're down 39.5 pounds since July.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great. Yeah. That's a wonderful rate of loss. I don't know how many weeks that would be. I'd have to do some searching to figure it out.
And the Happy Scales app is amazing because it shows you your averages. And what I've typically been doing, it's about right now, I'm probably about 3 pounds a month. It's not.
Okay. I was trying to calculate it in my head.
Yeah. I don't know how much more I will lose. I mean, I'm hoping that I'll lose a little bit more, and it's not for the number. It's more because I know I feel the fat around and I know there's still some that needs to go, but I feel super comfortable right now. So
I love it.
Yeah. That's why I was like, I've got to share that this works. This really, really, really works.
Yeah. And ADF is a tool that sounds really scary. Did you feel like it sounded scary before you did it?
Yeah. I remember reading that chapter going, next.
No, I'm never going to do that.
I'll never do that. Famous last words, right?
Yeah. But if you're somebody who gravitates to a really tight window with the eating window approach, like someone who just accidentally would do a 1-hour window every day if left alone, then ADF is going to work very well for you because you're already used to eating in a short period of time.
Yeah. Today's my feast day. I mean, I didn't wake up and be like, oh, I've got to hurry up and eat, or it's a gradual, like you're on such a routine now. It's not anything major. And I don't feel like I failed if I have carbs. I don't feel like, you know,
I will never feel like I failed. I know, right?
Yeah, exactly. I am following this guy on Facebook, Bobby Parrish, I think his name. he teaches you a lot about the ingredients in food. I do have your book, Cleanish, and I'll admit I just read a few pages of it. So I'm sure you'll probably touch on a lot of stuff that he touches on. But I am finding that I am being a little bit more careful with the reading the ingredients.
Yeah.
So I will say I have changed from, if I have chips and dip, I don't have chips and dip now. I have hummus and maybe brown rice crackers or some peppers. I know that people will want to just continue. My friends will ask me, can you just eat everything? Well, yeah, you can, but you want to see good results? You know, you're going to see some results.
Well, food quality matters. And, you know, part of me is a little mad that I learned all the stuff that I learned when I wrote Cleanish, because I'll be like reading an ingredients list. I'm like, I don't want that ingredient. I wish I didn't know.
I know.
Really. And then I'll put it back. And ice cream is really tricky. You try to buy ice cream that doesn't have a bunch of junk in it. It's so hard. And I'm like, well, sometimes I don't look and sometimes I put it back. So.
Yeah. I mean, there is a balance. I know there is somewhat of a balance, because I mean, there's an app called a Bobby app where you can just click and say, you know, Bobby approved, basically a dummy proof here.
Right.
Does this work? And nothing I found, but I'm like, okay, this is better than potato chips. So I'm going to get this for now.
Well, and really, you know, when you're in the store and you're trying to make a decision, I'll just compare two things and pick the better of the options. Or like I'll be in the yogurt aisle and looking at all of the choices and say, which one is going to be the best option here?
Right.
And choose that one. And that one's good enough, right? And that's really smart. How I make a decision.
Yeah, that's very smart, because I mean, you could literally spend days, hours looking through all this stuff. But yeah, I'm enjoying this. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't go back to a window. On the days that I kind of switch it up, I might do a 4 or 6 hour window that day. So I'll do two in a row.
You might have a down day, an up day, and then a window day.
And then back to a down day. That works for me. So when I decide to change it up, because I, let's say every Wednesday when I go into work, I don't want to have to plan my meals, because I was doing that, but I found that I was just eating out, DoorDash, and I was like, okay, this is stupid. It's just not healthy, and it's not.
You don't feel your best when you eat that in the middle of a work day.
No. You don't. And then you're just tired. You're just really tired when you eat yucky food too. So yeah,
it's really nice that you have the flexibility with your work to be able to switch it up.
Yeah.
How you would like to, because some days you're at home and some days you go to the office.
Right. So I'm excited that I have found and stuck with this. And I was just ecstatic to be able to be on your show. And then I've got a lot of friends that always ask me about it. And I do take them to Fast Feast Repeat. I bet I've sold at least 10 of your books, by the way. But I started my own just support group within Facebook of just friends. So it's been very interesting these past, it's kind of had a more of an uptick lately because of, I shared a post that was showing my before and after for now. And that piqued a lot of interest. And people were like, okay, what did you do? And I didn't really want to put it like on my Facebook page. I want it to be more personal with just people that I knew. So we're all in this. I have about 20 in my group that we talk probably daily. We have a prayer focus, because when you change something, you have to fill it with something else.
Well, that's true.
Right? Right. Yeah. So in order to change a bad habit, what are you going to replace it with?
Yeah.
Well, that was a part that was missing. Yeah. That was a part that was missing for me, is like, okay, I can handle all things. I go to prayer for this, or I go to pray for that, or my sons or whatever, but I wasn't going to prayer about my weight. I wasn't going to prayer about my temptations, because I didn't really look at it as a temptation. Like, we have to eat. Like, yeah, but I don't have to go through McDonald's and get a quarter pound of cheese, large fry, and a Diet Coke.
Exactly.
Right? So my husband is also, he actually just started the 28-day fast start.
Awesome. I'm so excited to hear that.
Yep. And we're going out to dinner with some friends of ours tomorrow night, and they would like to hear more, and they're going to get the book as well. That's going to be their present.
I love it. Yeah. So I'm really pleased with how 28-day fast start day by day has been going with the people who started with it and really enjoyed working through it. In fact, I heard a lot of people were like, well, now that the 28 days are over, I need a journal just like this that keeps going.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, right? Now you're on your own.
Well, and you can continue to journal.
Like, you can. That's what I suggested.
Journal every day, right?
Journal. Write the same kind of things down in there.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Oh, I'm an advocate for journals for everything. Like, you can see where God's worked and taken us here, here, and here, and what He's done in the process. When I thought it was, oh, this is never going to work out or whatever, and it's just so great to see that I can see that now through weight loss and through just eating healthier and feeling better too.
Yeah. And you can even think of being in the community itself as your journal, and you can make a post. Some people post every day, and that's their journal, and they talk through things, and talking through things out loud with other people can really help you.
Definitely. Definitely.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move, or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So tell me your schedule exact. I know you mentioned it's not strict, not up, down, up, down, up, down, but do you have 3 down days a week generally, usually?
So I do. So what's today? So today I'm actually on my up day, but I'm switching it up because tomorrow we're going out with friends. So normally my schedule would be a down day on a Monday, up day on a Tuesday, down day on a Wednesday, up day on a Thursday, and then I do Friday and Saturday up days.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Because we do love to go out and have fun with friends and hang out, and I intentionally make my Sunday a down day because they have donuts and I don't really want to put that Sunday morning as much as I really, really, really want them. It never turns out well for me.
Yeah.
So then I could just say, I'm fasting. I'm good. I don't miss it now. I did for a while because I could down a couple donuts, no problem. But yeah.
So you have 2 to 3 down days a week, just how it works out with your schedule. That makes sense. So every down day needs to be followed by an up day. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you found a schedule that feels good and it's giving you about 3 pounds of weight loss a month. That's a really steady rate.
I did drop. I don't have like my numbers in front of me, but when I did switch to alternate day, I did drop faster than when I was doing the window. And I think I honestly felt better. I needed that one day where I wasn't eating a lot, and I wasn't eating even in my windows. I wasn't to that point where I felt like I needed to change my bad habits. So that didn't help either. And so once I started realizing, let's start making a little bit better choices. I loved your analogy of the potato chips, just have a potato. So I started doing that and I was like, man, this tastes really good and it's filling and I'm not hungry.
See, there's the difference.
Yeah.
Potato chips are not filling no matter how many you eat. You could eat the entire bag and then you just feel gross, but you don't feel satisfied. And you're like, what else can I have? Because that wasn't it. But you eat a giant baked potato with butter and sour cream. You eat that and you're like, oh, that was good.
Right. And it's satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So still a work in progress. The one mistake I made is that when I finally went down a pant size, I was a 14. I went down to a 12 and I went out and bought, like, I don't know, five pairs of size 12. And
now I get it.
I'm in a size 10.
Yeah. I did the same thing. Size 10 is where I went crazy.
Yeah.
When I got to size 10, I felt so much better that I bought. So I bought like this $90 pair of pants. Why did I buy those pants? I have no idea. I was so excited.
It's the best.
Because we're up for a tiny short time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I was so excited to have them. And then I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Oh, funny.
I still don't buy $90 pants even now. So
right? Well, hey, that was your celebration. That's what you would spend on food in the week anyway. So
well, there you go. That's exactly right. But so you're in a 10 now. Is that where you are?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is your goal? Do you have a goal size that you would like to get to?
I have 135 in my head, but mm-hmm. I won't be disappointed if my body stops at whatever. I just am so glad. And you've seen my post too, where I can just get on the ground with my grandson. I mean, yesterday I'm literally going down a slide. I'm like,
I saw that post, your feet on the slide.
Yeah,
that was such a fun post.
Great. Yeah, it was so great. I mean, I love being able to do that. So yeah, I do have goals. Obviously, I'd like to get lower, but I'm not going to use that as a number. My goal right now is to run 4 miles on July 4th. I'm back to that same race where I was last year, where I could only walk a mile. Now I want to run 4 miles. So that's my goal. Yeah, I'm so excited for that.
So how are you getting ready for that? What are you doing to get ready for that 4 miles?
When it's snowing here, I'm using the treadmill just so I don't slip. I don't mind running in it. I just don't want to slip and fall in the stuff out there. But yeah, I got a small treadmill and then I'm running on the pavement when I'm able to. So yeah, every day I'm doing something. And then I've also got a row machine to just help me with my mm-hmm. upper body strength. And I'm also doing light weights, which fabulous. There's a video from her name's Sheila, and she does this fabulous 50 weights with just low impact weights, like maybe 5 pounds. It's an 8-minute workout. There, she's got a bunch of them, and they're so great because it's helping tone my arms too.
Right.
Yeah. You're just feeling stronger. You're feeling, I bet right now, I feel like I'm in my 30s.
That's awesome. It's amazing. I feel the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So then even when I had a birthday this year, I wasn't depressed at 55. I was like, I feel great. Why should I be depressed? I feel amazing.
55 will be my next birthday as well. Yeah, so I get it. Yeah. And I love telling people my age because I feel, and people are surprised, right? They're like, what?
Yeah.
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 Because we radiate the energy that comes with that intermittent fasting glow.
That's what it is.
It's the intermittent fasting glow. I think so. But we're going to be strong as we age.
Yes.
You do have to work your muscles. I didn't understand that for so long. I just thought probably you and me both, we just associated exercise with weight loss.
Yeah.
You exercise, so you lose weight. And that is the reason to exercise. I never really found that exercise led to me having more weight loss.
It's funny because I watched a video with Dr. Fung and he even mentioned that. He even mentioned, like, you can exercise. It might do a little bit, but changing your way of eating and intermittent mm-hmm. fasting is the key.
I was shocked to hear that.
I was like, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do need to stay strong and fit.
But that's what's shifted is understanding that.
Right.
You know, I'm in my goal size. I've been this size for a long time now. I was like, oh, but wait a minute. I need to build muscle so that I am strong as I get older.
It's not just about losing.
Right. It's like the whole thing is shifted because I had all those years of like when I would do the, did you do the Cindy Crawford exercise video? Did you ever do that one?
Oh, I'm sure I did because I did the Jane Fonda.
It made me think about it. That was the whole low fat era. I was eating low fat and doing the Cindy Crawford workout video. It was like an iconic video of the time. I had that on cassette or VCR tape, but it was to lose weight. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing. So it's nice to have a different focus of being, being strong.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. So you said that you have changed your food quality. How do you eat now? you're eating real food. Is that your focus for the most part?
We have a wonderful farmer's market here, and they even do this throughout the winter time where we can go to a church and buy things through the farmer's market. So I buy fresh eggs there. I like my berries, so I eat a lot of blueberries, and actually they're really good, even though they're not in season right now, but they're really, I didn't get those at the farmer's market, but they have apples there that are fantastic.
Oh. So
I get what I can at the farmer's market now. In the summer, last year, I was a salsa queen. I would buy all kinds of ingredients and just make my own homemade salsa with everything that I could get from the farmer's market. So I'm going to try to grow some this year myself. We'll see how that goes.
What are you going to grow?
Just peppers and herbs and tomatoes and things that would make salsa. And maybe some berries. I don't know how it'll grow out here, but yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I bought like an indoor garden. I'm getting it all like set up and ready, like a greenhouse.
Oh, that sounds fun. We'll make sure to show lots of pictures in the community so we can see what you're doing.
We'll see the greenhouse. We'll like, okay, where's Tamara? Where's the status? Okay, next year, here's a greenhouse.
We definitely want to see it. I love when people in the community do cool things with food. Like Lucy was making pineapple kimchi or something, or pineapple sauerkraut. Mm-hmm. Then somebody else was making it. I think it was pineapple sauerkraut. So I'm just living vicariously through all those cool things y'all are doing.
Yeah.
So much fun. So how about your family eating habits? Is it kind of carried over? I know your husband just started intermittent fasting.
It will.
It will. I get it.
He's trying. He's cut back on his Mountain Dews. That's one thing I did stop. I don't drink Diet Cokes anymore. Mm-hmm. If I have the urge, if we're out, it's very rare that I'll have a Coke and I'll be like, why did I even do that? But it's just mainly just water and coffee now and orange juice. So I drink orange juice every once in a while, but it's organic orange juice. And I just don't really have a craving for it. I did miss it. I was trying to find sparkling waters, but then, you know, you got the cane sugar and your other stuff in a lot of them. I did find bubbly. The plain one was fine. And it's good. If I feel like having something with bubbles, I'll have that. But I was drinking Clearly Canadian, the glass bottle, you know, the cherry. I was like, oh yeah, this is great.
And I remember that. It's full of sugar, right?
Yeah. Hour later, my heart was racing and I'm like, why is my heart racing? And I went and read, oh yeah, I don't know. It was like a gazillion grams.
And of course, all those are for your eating window, not for the
Yeah,
fast.
Exactly. Remember, eating window. Yeah.
I remember Clearly Canadian when it first came out. Was that the 80s? Like the late 80s?
Yeah, and it was 80s? Cherry. It is so good. I'm not going to lie, it's good.
It's got sugar in it.
It's got lots of sugar too.
It, but like I don't like any kind of flavored sparkling water now. I don't like the artificial weird flavor that they put in stuff. It doesn't, of course, that would not be for fasting, but during your eating window. Right. But have you ever tried lime Topo Chico?
That's tea, right? It's got
no Topo Chico is that sparkling water that comes. No. It's the Mexican sparkling water, and plain Topo Chico is what you would have during the fast. But lime Topo Chico, just had one, and I've got to figure out where to get it. My massage therapist gave me one as a gift, and of course, I saved it for my eating window. And I was like, well, I'm not going to like it because I don't like any kind of flavored, artificially flavored waters. But it tasted so good.
Oh, I'm going to try that.
It was so good.
I actually have one. I will say in the summertime, I do drink when my window's open is like lime water, or I'll put berries in water. Yeah. Just a fun summer.
Yeah, I like the
spritzer.
Real flavor. Like when I'm out and I'm having a mocktail, I'll get club soda with just a lime wedge. And I like that. It's just I don't like the fake stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever they flavor like the LaCroix. Ugh. I bought some for my eating window one time and I just gave it away because I didn't like it at all.
I also quit wine too. That was like my Friday evening thing. And you were doing a podcast, I think on Fast Feast Repeat, where you were talking about how it made you feel at night with your heart rate.
Yep.
That's exactly what it was doing for me. And I didn't even put the two and two together.
Wake up in the middle of the night with your heart racing. Feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, okay, done with that. It's not,
it's
not worth it.
I don't want to wake up feeling like that.
That's right. That's right. True. If we just remember the bad stuff that happens afterwards.
Right. It's true. So tell me some of your non-scale victories, if you haven't mentioned them already.
Energy. That's a big one. Headaches. I rarely have headaches now, where I was having headaches daily before. Mm-hmm. Mainly sinuses, but the sinuses were from the kind of foods I was eating as well, where I kind of eliminated those. Stomach issues. Rarely have stomach issues now. And skin tags are gone that I had.
Awesome. That's a great sign that you're lowering insulin resistance.
Yes.
That's really huge. So you do share intermittent fasting with others. You don't keep it to yourself.
I do. And honestly, it's just, I want other people to feel as healthy and as happy as I have been. And honestly, just get down to the root of the issue. Why is it that it could be food, or it could be something like I was saying, mine was stress eating and then plus bad food. So I had to get down to the root of that before I could really commit.
Well, and I think it's important for people to hear your story and know that you dabbled from 19 to 23. That was like me, my story. I dabbled from 09 to 14. See, you didn't dabble as long as me. Your dabbling was shorter. You learned quicker than I did. It took me longer. Yeah. I was a slower learner. But you can be someone who's been very inconsistent with intermittent fasting and half-heartedly doing it and then turn it around.
Right. And the black coffee, I found that when I drank black coffee, I didn't have headaches. And then when I would add my creamer in on my up days or my window, I would have headaches.
Ah.
Okay. So was it worth it? No.
No. No.
Now, I might have some flavored coffee at my girlfriend's coffee shop, which I'll do that every once in a while. And I may have a headache after that or may not. But
On your eating day. Yeah,
that's my eating window. Yeah, my eating window. But yeah, as far as like at home, I don't do any creamers. I'll just do black coffee.
Yeah.
Even on my up days at home.
Well, you just get used to it.
Mm-hmm. You do. You
and people who are not used to it can't believe it, but you really do get used to it.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that if you... Like there are people who are like, well, I will never like black coffee. I can't get used to it. So they always open their window every day with a creamy coffee. I think that is why they can't get used to the black coffee because they're still drinking the creamy coffee. If you just cut that out cold turkey and only drink black coffee for a while, that'll help you adapt to it.
I agree.
That's my new hunch. People who can't get used to it, but they're still drinking the creamy stuff a lot. Mm-hmm. They're not giving their palate.
Actually, I can't have very sweet drinks. If I do go to a coffee shop, if it's too sweet, I can't drink it.
Yeah.
Now, where before I'd be like, load me up, put extra.
Add some more.
That's right. More sugar.
Extra pumps.
That's right.
Well, we are almost out of time. What would you tell someone just starting out with intermittent fasting, or what do you wish you knew when you first started?
Well, it's like I said, I have a group and I've mentioned this in there that you have to have the mindset that there are going to have to be some changes that you make, replacing bad habits with some good habits. Mine was stress eating. Well, if I'm stressing, I should be praying. If I'm drinking pop, maybe I need to switch to carbonated water. I mean, just making some, we call them tweaks in the community, little tweaks. But
you're making substitutions.
Right. And you're going to have to figure out how to fill your time.
Right.
With the time that you have that you would normally either sit down to eat. So plan what you're going to do. Me, it was journaling, prayer, reading more. I would exercise more, or I started to exercise, I should say, where I wasn't before, walking. Do stuff you enjoy. I mean, don't feel like because Tamara's a runner, you have to go run.
I do not feel like I have to.
I know, right? And my husband hates it too. He's looking at me like, have fun. Yeah. But where he might like kickboxing, where I'm like, that's not my thing. But you know, everybody's got a thing that they could do. And like I said, even those low impact weights or whatever. But also just baby steps to get to your goal and set realistic goals. Don't feel like you're going to lose 60 pounds in 3 months and then give up. It's just take it baby steps. Each week is a victory that you've done. Each day is a victory, and you are fasting, whether you realize it or not, you're just stretching your time.
Yeah. Everybody is fasting while they're sleeping, and you wake up and you just keep going.
Right. Right. So that would be what I would recommend.
Well, I think that is great. And Tamara, I have so enjoyed talking to you today, as I knew that I would.
Aww.
And thank you too, for Jen, telling your story.
Yes.
Do you have an intermittent fasting story to tell? Email me at jen@intermittentfastingstories.com and I'll add you to the lineup. That's GIN@intermittentfastingstories.com. The world wants to hear your story. That's it for today. Remember, I may have a doctorate, but I'm not a medical doctor. So don't use anything you hear on this podcast as a substitute for medical advice. Please always check with your doctor or healthcare provider if you have medical questions. I'll talk to you next week, Fasting Family, where we will hear another inspiring story. Have a great week and fast on.
Intermittent Fasting Stories is edited, mixed, and mastered by Resonate Recordings. To learn more, visit them at resonaterecordings.com or email them at hello@resonaterecordings.com. Intermittent Fasting Stories listeners will receive a free offer if you mention that you heard it on the podcast.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
It's win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly, crying,
lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell
have I got myself into?
The GOAT. Stream free on Amazon Freevee or Prime Video.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 65th National Finals of Distinguished Young Women.
Every year, one girl from every state leaves her family, her whole life behind, for 2 weeks and spends each day training, practicing, preparing. Because to win this competition, she needs to wow a panel of judges with her academic record, her athletic ability, her speaking skills, and a show-stopping talent.
I met her and I was like, she's gonna win.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
When I sing that song about being a black woman in America, there's gonna be backlash about that.
Oh, I'm just so happy. So happy.
I don't wanna see them. I don't wanna talk to them.
And then we stayed with them for the next year, unpacking just what happened those 2 weeks in Mobile. I'm Shimol Yai, and from Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.